Glad that you're here this morning. And man, what an exciting opportunity to be here. I know that if you're just coming in this morning, I don't know if we have any guests or not, but if you are, we're glad that you're here. HBF exists to equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God in the power of God. And over the last several years now, since 2008, we've been involved in publishing the Word of God. Since the early days of HBF, we've been involved with going into the jails. We've been supporting Gene Pirtle as well. And God has just given us a heart here to reach people where they're at and take them where they need to go, which is to Christ. And so we're all about that. And so as we've been endeavoring to just trust God to open doors and to give us opportunity to glorify His name and getting the word out while there's time, right? We need to do this while we have time, while we have opportunity. This last summer, God took myself and Pastor Randy up to Milford, Ohio, Bearing Precious Seed. And I think most of you know the ministry there and how they are so critical to what we do oftentimes with publishing the word, that in Shelbyville and others. And so it's been so exciting to be a part of that. And on our journey, we ran into a dear brother that I've been able to meet and get to know, and his wife, Paula, Dr. Mike Van Horn and Paula Van Horn, who are just walking by faith, and they're using, they could be doing a lot of things in life, but they have chosen to set their life apart and serve the Lord. And they have a real burden for a lot of the same things we have a real burden for. And he has got a prolific ministry, not only in local ministries around the United States, but also throughout the world. He is ministering the gospel. He is taking literature, preparing literature and tracts, and his heart is to get the Bible, get the gospel where it needs to go on time, just like ours. And so I'm so excited that he is here this morning. God has connected us, and he's got some projects that we need to hear about. He's got some things going on in the ministry that he is asking us to help partner with and expose us to. And it's just it's an introduction this morning. I pray that God uses this time to continue to build our relationships with key men and key places. It just so happens that Dr. Van Horn is involved in strategic ministry in a place called Cambodia. It just so happens. And so he's telling me about the work there, and he's even got some emphasis and some more important, I shouldn't say more important, but some even equally strategic locations over there that are important to get in the gospel to, that we've actually had a trip into to survey ourselves. And so it's so important that we partner together with people that are like-minded, that love God's word, and we can go forward in faith. So I'm so excited this morning to have Dr. Van Horn come and preach to us. Dr. Van Horn, if you could come up, please. We are excited to hear you. Give him a great HBF welcome.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Just good old Brother Van Horn will work for me. Amen. Amen. But it is a privilege to be here this morning. I'm thankful for your preacher. I love seeing young men that are on fire for God. Amen. It always does thrill me. I do have my beautiful wife with me, by far the best wife I've ever had in all my life. She's the only one, so don't get too nervous. But Paula, wave your hand right there. If she has to get up, she's been fighting a horrible cough. She doesn't have the other symptoms of a cold, but she's just got a bad cough, so she may have to get up and leave. Sometimes I think she just does that because she doesn't want to hear me preach. But other than that, you know, amen. But it is a blessing to be here. I was saved as a young boy. I thank God for a godly mom that took me to church. Amen. Moms, dads, keep bringing your kids to church. Amen. They'll get something. But the Lord would call me into the Rock of Ages prison ministry back in 1999, and I'm thankful for it. I met my beautiful wife out here in Kansas. I served 4 years in the Air Force. They said I'd see the world. I saw San Antonio, Texas, Denver, Colorado, and Wichita, Kansas. So I guess they really showed me the world. But I am thankful for the privilege to join up with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry in 1999. Started out working in the juvenile facilities. I love working with the kids, telling them about the Lord. But then about almost 9-10 years ago now, God would redirect my path using Psalm 2 and 8. Ask of me, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of thy world for thy possession. Y'all can have your boats and your land. I just want some heathens, amen. Because you can take them to heaven with you. You're going to leave your lands down here. But I thank the Lord for what He's put in my heart, really a world vision. I remember sitting in the staff meetings early on when I was in the international department, and our director, Dr. Ricky Dunsford, would look at me and say, Brother Van Horn, you can go anywhere in the world and do anything you want to. And I thought, hallelujah. That's exactly what I wanted to do. God's given me many different opportunities, too much to tell in such a short time. I do want to get to the Word of God, but I would like to tell you a little bit about what He's doing with our international department so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. It's been my burden and my passion to partner with local men in or on the foreign field to help equip them to do the job. I don't have to learn the Khmer language in Cambodia. I don't have to learn the Tagalog language in the Philippines. I don't have to learn all those African languages. All we have to do is to get with those men, teach them, train them how to go into the prisons, equip them with material, help them to get into their public school systems, really just show them the vision that we have and help them to facilitate their own particular ministries. And I'm grateful for it. The Lord's given us the country of Cambodia. I love the work in Cambodia. We were able to, first of all, I partnered with Brother Lomer Hope Dela Cruz. He's a veteran missionary over there. Brother Lomer has planted 24 churches, and 21 of them are still up and going, and one of those is a church that we planted in Suwon City, a village that had 150,000, still has 150,000 or more Cambodian people without a Baptist church whatsoever. When he told me that, my heart broke. Could you imagine not having a church in your area, not even knowing what the Bible is, not even understanding who Jesus is? Time after time, I'll ask those Cambodian people if they know who Jesus is. They have no clue. And here we are in America with the answers. Well, when he told me that, I said, Brother, let's start a ministry here. Let's start a church. And by God's good hand of grace, we partnered with a church in Virginia, and God gave us Grace Baptist Church, Gateway Baptist Church in Cambodia. But right down the road, about 2 kilometers, 2 miles or so, is the Suwon City County Jail. Amen. There's about 1,000 people there. It's a provincial jail, is what they call them. There's about 1,000 inmates there at any given time. And 2 to 3 times a week, we're able to go in there and preach the Bible to those men. It's absolutely incredible. We used to have many of them come to know the Lord as their Savior, but those numbers started dropping because so many of them got saved. Now we're discipling them, brother. We've had some get out of the prison already and come back in as volunteers. We've got some that's been coming to church there at Liberty Baptist, there in Kampung Cham with Brother Lomer and his church. So we're grateful what God's doing there. I was in a church here a few months back, about a month or so ago, and they raised $3,000 to help us print this little booklet called Do You Know God? It starts right from creation, goes clear through to Calvary in the Khmer language, and it's a booklet about the size of our John and Romans. We can get them printed over there. We're going to print thousands of them. We've already printed and distributed thousands of them, but part of my burden is to get the gospel message sent out to those people in Cambodia. I can't be there to preach to all of them, but boy, we can sure pass out a couple thousand tracts in no time, and that little gospel message will continue to do the preaching. We're scheduling to go back in January 22nd, if you want to write those dates down, preacher. Leaving on the 22nd of January, we'll be there for 2 weeks. I'd love to have you come, but what God's done with us over there is now we've established that church. We've got the prison ministry established. It's kind of our prototype with what I'd like to do in all 24 provinces in the country of Cambodia. I'd like to see us start a little church in a village as well as get into the prison systems and reach those Cambodian inmates with the gospel. We also would love to get into the public schools. But I believe if we're going to reach Cambodia, and I do believe that someday we can call that country a Christian nation, we're going to do it with the printed page. That's just hands down. We're going to do it with the printed page, and I believe that we need to continue doing that. The other part of my position, if you will, my calling, God's given me the privilege to really oversee some of our other men. The country of Africa, the continent of Africa, is a great blessing to me. I made 2 trips there this year. I'll probably make at least 2 more next year. I love that continent. Brother John Shelley is doing an amazing job. We've already shipped 1 container over this year full of Bibles. I was in Kenya and Uganda, preached in a public school system now, had about 150 kids in there, and I asked them how many of them had a copy of the Bible in their house. 3 of those people raised their hands, 3 of those students. And then I would ask them how many of you 3 ever picked that Bible up and read it. Hardly any of them would raise it. I don't believe any of the 3 raised their hands. Well, I preached the good news about you must be born again, and many of the hands went up. Many of those little Kenyan kids called on Christ that day. But the good news is, about a month later, we shipped an entire container, and now we got pictures of them holding up a copy of God's Word where they can read it themselves. We're now in the process of putting a container together for the country of Liberia. And again, Brother John does a great job facilitating all of that work. I just get to help him with it. We went to that meeting in Milford, like your pastor was telling us, and the very first thing I talked to Brother Al Braley, he's a good friend of mine up there, I told him we're putting a container together for Liberia. He said, "For where?" I said, "Liberia." He said, "You're kidding me, right?" I said, "No, why?" He said, "We have 100,000 copies of John and Romans we printed with a Liberian flag on the front of it, and the missionary doesn't need them. He's not going now." And I said, "I'll take them. Hallelujah." So we got them, and we are still looking for about 10,000 more Bibles. I talked to your preacher and Brother Randy, I believe it is, and it looks like we might be able to get about 10,000 sent from the church here. So that would be a great blessing as well to finish off that container. We got two skids full of gospel tracks coming from Fellowship Track League, and we'll put that on the container to Liberia, and by God's good hand of grace, we'll get that material shipped over. I just came back from the country of New Zealand. What an amazing place. I was able to preach in the prison there. The chaplain's an Anglican, and when I got done preaching, I think he wanted to shout once. I think he was starting to move just a little bit, almost got an amen out of him. But he enjoyed it. But what we're doing there is we're implementing our reintegration program. And many different countries, Australia, New Zealand, it's getting to this place in some parts of America. They don't want preaching. Isn't that amazing? It's the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. No wonder the world doesn't want preaching. Jesus wants it, amen, but the world sure doesn't. So what we're doing is we're coming in the back door with under the educational department with a reintegration program or prison prevention program in the public school systems where we're able to teach these men. It really doesn't matter whether I teach them the Bible or preach the Bible to them, amen, as long as they get the Bible. And now we'll be going in three different times a month there in Christ Church, New Zealand. When I left, the preacher said, "Brother Van Horn, will you send me some tracks? I need tracks." This guy's amazing. I'll tell you, he's a Filipino. He's been over there now for about 10 years. Started Rebuilders Bible Baptist Church shortly after the earthquake that devastated Christ Church. But the man of God passes out thousands of tracks. Has a great team of men that'll pass them out. He's always looking for tracks. I said, "Preacher," I said, "let me see what I can do." But we're looking to support that man of God. Part of our partnership is to raise money to support our national men on the foreign field. In the country or the continent of Africa, in 8 of those different continent or countries, we're currently supporting 44 national preachers that are going into the prisons, preaching the gospel, passing out the literature that we're giving to them. 44 different national. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Y'all just looking at me, amen. 44 different national pastors the Lord's allowed us to partner with just in the continent of Africa. And of course, the Lord's doing many other things. Country of Hungary, the Lord's given us a man 4 years ago. He said, when I asked him, I confronted him. I said, "Preacher, what about going to prison here in Hungary?" He said, "Not interested." I said, "Okay." I said, "Will you pray?" And he said, "Well," he said, I can pray." Well, the Holy Ghost of God really started working on the man of God. And long story short, Brother Joel Kovacs will be making application with Rock of Ages Ministries to become a full-time missionary with our ministry in this upcoming March. So Brother Zolt is a well-educated man. He carries himself very well, knows the English language very well. Well, was saved over here in America, in Napa, California, under the ministry of Dr. Mike Ray. But the good thing about Brother Zolt is he is a man as well that has a vision. I said, "Brother Zolt," I said, let's think about Europe. Can we get past the borders of Hungary? Would you be interested in going other places?" I said, "Right down the road, just a little piece, is the country of Albania. I've already been there. The doors are open. We just need a man." He said, "Brother Van Horn, I'll do anything God will let me do. Amen." He says, "I have contacts in Poland. I have contacts in Bulgaria. And he knows some different folks in Germany. So by God's good hand of grace, we'll soon be reaching many of those different nations." Now, you know what that's going to mean? That means we're going to have to ship him some Bibles in the German language, some Bibles in the Polish language, and the Bulgarian language, and Albanian language. So I'm just stirring up work for y'all, if that's okay. Amen. And we're looking for partners not only on the foreign field to get the job done, but I'll be honest with you, church, we need partners over here that can help. If you can't go, then give so some can. Amen. If you can't actually pass out the gospel tract, make sure you got some in the hand of somebody who will. And I'm thankful for a church that has that great burden. So please do pray. There's so many different things I could tell you about our ministry, but the good news about our ministry is we love souls. And I don't have to be on the foreign field to try and win one to Christ. Amen. There's a lot of folks I've already witnessed to this morning. Gave out gospel tracts at the hotel. There's a handful of soldiers that were there. Amen. The guys at the counter. I just love telling people about Christ. They're just going to die and go to hell if somebody doesn't tell them. Amen. And we've got to do it. So, again, we are Brother Van Horn. I am going to tell you this right now before I forget. I got a prayer card out on the table, and I'd really like you to take it. Put it the place that's closest to your heart. Hang it on your refrigerator. Amen. That way when you see it, you can pray for us, because we really do need your prayers. And I don't just say that. I really do mean that. We need your prayers. But also on the back is our website, vanhornroa.com. There's two things I'd like you to do there. First of all, I'd like you to go and hit the third click from the left and listen to my wife's testimony. It's an absolutely incredible testimony, what God's done for her and what God's doing through her. But then there's also a place where you can sign up and get my prayer letters, as well as a short little devotion. I think your preacher's getting my devotions now. I send them out, little short things, something you can read, honestly, in a minute or so. It's just a little blip, something to fire you up for the morning. And I hope you'll just take a minute and sign up. But check out our website and follow our prayer letters. I promise you I won't hound you. I only get about six of those things out a year. I really need to get better at this stuff. I've only been a missionary for 18 years, and I'm just not getting real good at this part of it. That part of it, I got nailed down, but as far as communicating and stuff, I'm doing my best. So I would appreciate your prayers. I really do mean that. Well, take your Bible. I've got just about 15 minutes. I'm going to give you a 45-minute message in 15, so you listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we'll see what God has to go for us today. Amen. Psalm chapter 68:11. I'm sure you've heard this passage before. I'll read the passage, I'll make my prayer, and then we'll give you some things the Lord's put together for us today. Psalm 68:11. Aren't you glad we have a Bible? Could you imagine not having a copy of God's Word? I make it a practice to read five chapters of Psalms a day. Young people, you have to. This is without a doubt. This is the doctor's orders. A chapter of Proverbs every day until you take your last breath. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. It's known as the book of wisdom. And God did it with the exact amount of days that's in most of our months. This morning, guess what chapter I read? Somebody tell me. Chapter 22. Amen. And I'm going to read 23 tomorrow and keep doing it. Because I'll tell you, Proverbs is loaded. But when you read through the book of Psalms, you'll be amazed at what God will give you. Psalm 68:11, the Bible says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." Father in heaven, we come to you today, grateful that I live in a country, Lord, where I can still pass out gospel tracts and still tell people about Jesus. Many don't want to hear about him, but Lord God, they'll have to stand before you knowing that they had an opportunity. And I pray, Lord Jesus, right now this morning that you will touch the hearts of these dear folks. If there's one in this room that is not 100% sure if they take their last breath they'll be in heaven, then, Lord, this is the place where they can get that settled. I'm thankful that you've given me a no-so salvation and not a hope-so. So I pray that you'd please help us today now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Mark 13:10, the Bible says this. Of course, Christ was teaching his disciples when he said this, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." That word "published" is a simple word. It simply means to proclaim the message to the world is basically what it means. To discover, to make known to mankind, to people in general, was before or privately unknown. That's what the word "publish" means. I like the second definition in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says to send a book into the world. Well, it's not just a book we're sending in. It's the book. Amen. It's not just a version. It's the King James Bible. I don't carry a version. Amen. I carry the Bible. Everything else is just a book. But I believe with all my heart, when we look at this passage, when he says that great was the company of those that publish it, it's our job to publish it. I believe when Jesus said, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations," it's our job to fulfill this prophecy. Jesus said it will be published, and we've got to do our part to make sure it takes place. Then I looked up that word "great." There's 25 different definitions in our English language for the word "great," so I just chose this one. Possessing large or strong powers of mind as a great genius. Amen. Hey, listen, you're going to be a brilliant person if you just pass out the tracts, if you just tell people about Christ. You're going to be great in the eyes of God. There was a man I read about, and you may have heard him before. He's often referred to as Mr. Gnor, but actually his name is Frank Jenner. I was in the country of Australia. I love going to Australia. I love going down to George Street, passing out gospel tracts, witnessing to different people. But Frank Jenner was an Australian sailor, and Frank was really living a reprobate life. He was a drunk. He was just doing whatever he felt was that felt good and just having the time of his life. Well, he, like most people living in that world, sin brought him to a dead-end wall. Well, I'm glad there was a soul winner there, amen, led him to Christ. And he said the difference in his life was so drastic from night to day that he made a commitment to God to witness to 10 people a day and tell 10 people a day about the Lord. Now, isn't that something? How about your salvation? Was it great enough to tell somebody else about? Mine is, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. One of the best ways he would do is he'd stand on George Street and he'd pass out those gospel tracts. Well, I know another man in the Bible in Mark chapter 5 and verse 20. He was known as the maniac of Gadara. And the Bible says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Do men marvel at what your life is? Our life is to radiate the love of Christ. Our life is to radiate something that they should want to have, not that they want to shy away from. Oh, if we would just radiate the love of God to the sinners around the world. One of the best ways, absolutely best ways to publish the Word of God is to keep your gospel tracts ready. Dr. John Wilkerson from the First Baptist Church up in Hammond, there at the great school, made this statement the other day at the Southwide Baptist Fellowships. He says, do you know what kind of person passes out a gospel tract? He says, people that carry them. Amen. They're going to be the ones that pass them out. Well, I keep gospel tracts in my top left pocket at all time. As a matter of fact, I call this top left pocket. I won't let my wife buy a shirt without a top left pocket. I've got to have a top left pocket. And I keep my tracts in there. And this little pocket is known around the world as my gospel gun. Amen. And can I tell you something? When I fire off a gospel bullet out of this top left pocket, the old sorry devil ducks. Amen. Hallelujah. He cannot stand the Word of God. He hates the printed page. You know why? Because he knows that it works. It works. I'm convinced that it works. I know it works. And I know it'll continue work. One man said this about the gospel gun. He says, the shell, the bullet that goes in a gospel gun, houses the gospel. The bullet is the message. The powder is the blessed Holy Ghost of God. Thank God I'm not doing this thing on my own. Amen. And he says, the primer igniter is the faithful servant of God who is willing to publish his word. So I guess maybe I ought to title this message, Armed and Dangerous. What do you think? Amen. I got my gospel gun. I got my bullets. I'm ready to fire at will. I've already shot at a few today. And guess what? Good news. You don't even need a carry permit. Hallelujah. You can just get it done. Charles Spurgeon said this about the gospel tract. He said, when preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a track ready. Get good striking tracts or none at all. But a touching gospel tract may be, now listen, the seed of eternal life. In this fast-paced world that we live in today, I often use this little statement. I give them this little piece of paper, and I say, do me a favor, put this in your pocket and read it a little bit later. It's one of them sublimable, or however you say that, messages. Most of them will just say, okay, great, fold it up and stick it in their pocket. And Lord willing, they'll find it sooner or later and read how they can know they're going to go to heaven. He said this, Charles Spurgeon, I'll never forget this statement. I use it all over the world. Therefore, do not go without your tracts. Don't go without them. Do you have them in your car? Do you carry them in your purse, ladies? Do you keep them on your person so you can be ready to fire a gospel bullet at any given time? He calls them silent preachers. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I wish you'd be silent preacher. Well, I'm not going to be. I'm going to keep on preaching. Amen. I had one guy sat on an airplane, and it was really a beautiful spot because these long hauls, sometimes 13, 14 hours, I sat down, there wasn't a person beside me, the armrests go up, I thought, hallelujah, I'm going to get me a nap today. And that plane no more than got up off the air, and here comes this dude, he comes over and he says, I'm going to sit right there. And I said, well, help yourself, buddy. He sat down, I started preaching Jesus to him. He told me he was saved, but I don't know, because he sure didn't like the preaching. After about 45 minutes of preaching, I got up and went back to use the restroom. I come back, that dude was gone. My buddy was there. My buddy says, I don't know what you've been saying to him, but he come walking by. He said, man, I got to get out of here. That guy just loves Jesus way too much. Amen. I just preach the paint off the walls to him, amen. But these silent preachers will preach long after we're gone. Long after we're gone. Adoniram Judson, I just read a book. The Secret of Adoniram Judson's Soul-Winning Secrets is the name of the book by John McElroy. He said, every pull of the press sends another ray of light through the darkness of the empire. Hallelujah, glory to God. The total number of Adoniram Judson's gospel tracts that he had printed and distributed in the mid-19th century was 164 million. Can you imagine that? 164 million gospel tracts as he would go through Burma. He knew what worked, and it still works today. Amen? And listen to what he would say. And I stand here, and I can echo this as I travel the country. And literally, sometimes, church, I have to beg churches to help me get money to buy Bibles and tracts. And I'm not desiring a gift for myself. God takes care of us just fine. I'm just trying to get fruit for your basket. Hallelujah. But we have to plead with people to just give us money to send a container. We ought to be knocking the doors down to give funds to get the gospel message around the world. It's the only message that will save people. But listen to what he said. Now you see, do you not? I am in distress. In a very few days, unless we have a fresh supply, we shall have to shut up the house and send away the hungry souls without giving them a crumb of the catechism. Nothing. Missionaries rely on the church to help us, to get us the gospel message so we can have ammo in our arsenal. Oswald J. Smith said this, the only way to carry out the Great Commission will be by the means of the printed page. In case you're not familiar with Oswald J. Smith, let me tell you a little bit about him. He was the leading force in fundamentalism in Canada. In 1928, he started an independent church in Toronto, the People's Church. Using his base in Toronto for fundraising, he traveled the world to recruit missionaries. He wrote, over the course of his 80 years of ministry, he preached more than 12,000 sermons, and he wrote 35 books with 128 different languages, many of them were translated into, as well as 1,200 poems, of which 100 have been put to music that are in our hymn books today. I think he is a valid source of saying that it'll be accomplished by the printed page. Did you know Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, was saved when some fella handed him a gospel tract and said, "Sir, do you know where you'll be when you die today?" Just a simple printed page got Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, to China. Amy Carmichael would sit underneath his preaching at one of the great services over in Europe. And Amy Carmichael would answer the call to go to India because of a gospel tract. Probably the most effective weapon in God's arsenal is a gospel tract. Joey Hancock of the American Tract Society said 53% of all people who come to Christ worldwide come through the use of the gospel literature. The article would go on to say, if you really care about the eternal salvation of those around you, how could you not carry gospel tracts everywhere you go? I'm hoping you're getting just a little bit of conviction today if you don't have a gospel tract anywhere near you. And you'll grab some from the track rack, you'll take them home, and make them keep the track rack full. Hallelujah. We can win Kansas City, but we'll do it with the printed page. And by the way, I heard you going out this afternoon. Every one of you ought to shut that NFL garbage off. Amen. Can I get an amen? If they won't stand for the flag, they don't deserve to be watched. Hallelujah. Come on, help me out this morning. Let's go win Kansas City with the gospel message. I believe the printed page carries, and I know it does, it carries the portions of God's word. Turn to John this morning, chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. I know it carries power, but I want you to see what the power of the printed page can accomplish. John chapter 8. Of course, we know the story. The woman had been brought into adultery. Verses 8 and 9, Jesus had written down, stooped down and wrote in the dirt. And verse number 8, he said, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now listen to verse 9. And they which heard it. You see it? Jesus didn't speak a word. All he did was write something in the ground. Well, can I tell you something today? I know what he wrote in the ground. He wrote the word of God. Amen. And the Word of God is alive and it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. And these men watched Jesus write. They heard the message and it brought conviction. It's exactly what it did. Don't underestimate the power of the gospel. Did you know George Whitefield? The great evangelist that brought revival to America was saved when somebody handed him a gospel tract that said the life of God in the soul of a man. He would turn this country upside down with the great revival preaching. Can I tell you something? That the Holy Ghost of God teamed up with an obedient Christian in a gospel tract is a very dangerous weapon in the arsenal of God. Thank God I don't have to do it on my own. Thank God I don't have to. I'm going to give you a couple spots where soul-winning Christians are passing out. Do you know they put them in balloons and they send them up over North Korea? Hallelujah. Let the balloon pop and fall into the hand of that crazy nut who's trying to send missiles all over the world. They put them in, tossed them out in airplanes and tossed them over that war-torn country in Colombia, and just scattered them all over for them gorillas to read them. Not the ape gorillas, but them crazy nuts that are killing people. They've been putting mail. Hey, listen, do me a favor, teenagers. Somebody start a junk mail ministry. Do you ever notice when you open up your junk mail, there's an envelope in the side that says no post is required in the United States of America? Amen. Don't throw it away. Put a gospel tract in it and let American Express pay for the bill for somebody to get a gospel tract. Don't throw them away. Bring them in. I put them in purses at the mall, not ladies' purses, but while my wife's a shopping, I'll stick them inside coolers, I'll stick them in beer containers. I'll put them everywhere while she's doing that, amen. One boy left them in the tank behind the toilet for the tidy bowl man, I guess. I don't know, but somebody probably found it. One fellow was scuba diving, found a track at the bottom of the sea, picked it up, read it, and got saved. I was preaching about gospel tracts in Ohio, and a pastor got up after I was done, began to weep. He said, "Church, you know my testimony. Three times in one day I got a gospel tract. And after I got the third one," he said, "I finally realized God was trying to talk to my heart, and I called on the Lord Jesus to be my Savior." Amen. He's now a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. My favorite spot to put him, and I'll leave one in the room after I'm done. By the way, church, thank you so much for the beautiful room. My favorite place is when I leave that hotel room, I want the next person to get it. So I'll leave one on the shelf for the track. I'll leave some in the drawers. I'll put some in the ice bucket. I'll put some in the microwave. Hallelujah. But I want the next person to get it. So I'll take the toilet paper and roll it way out and stick one in and wind it back up. Amen. The next person's going to get that one, I promise you. Let me finish because my time's up. The story about Mr. Gnor. Mr. Gnor was a Jenner, actually, Frank Jenner. I read his book. It was absolutely an amazing book. There was it was in a Baptist church at Crystal Palace in southern London. At the end of the service, a young man stood up and said, "Preacher, I'd like to give a testimony." He was talking how he stood on George Street and somebody stuck a gospel tract in his hand and said, "Sir, you know if you die, you go to heaven today?" He said, "It shook me up so bad I came home." He said, "I knew my friend was a Christian. I went down, talked to him, and he led me to Christ, and I'm moving here to this town." Well, everybody thought that was great. Now, that same Baptist preacher flew to Adelaide, Australia the next week. He was talking to a lady, and he asked her when she got saved. She would say basically the same testimony. She was in Sydney, Australia, in George Street, and somebody gave him a gospel tract, and she would call on Christ. He would then fly to Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Perth when a senior elder would take him out for lunch, an older deacon, and he would ask him when he got saved. He says, "Well, it was a strange thing." He says, "I was in Sydney, Australia on George Street, and this obnoxious old white-haired man stuck a gospel tract in my hand, said, 'Sir, do you know if you die today, you'd be in heaven?' He said, I was so mad at him." He said, "I've been a deacon in the Baptist church for 35 years. He said, "I went home and told my preacher about it, and the preacher said, 'Well, I've been worried about your salvation for years.' He said, 'The Holy Ghost of God convicted me, and I fell down on my knees and called on Christ. A gospel tract can win an old sorry deacon to the Lord, too." Amen. Hallelujah. I won't say anything about the deacon's wives. I'm just going to move right on. Now, the London preacher flew back to the UK and was speaking at a missionary convention in the Lake District. At the close of the service, there were four elderly pastors that came up and said, "We got saved by the same testimony. Some old boy down on George Street shoved a gospel tract in our hand." Then he flew the next week to another missionary convention in the Caribbean, and he shared that testimony. Three missionaries came up and said, "We got saved between 15 and 25 years ago after the same man with the same story on George Street gave us that tract." He would then fly to the Atlanta, Georgia to hold a chaplain's convention at the Navy chaplain of our United States of America. He would ask that Navy chaplain how he got saved. That old chaplain would tell him how he was on a drunken rampage on King's Court down there in Sydney, Australia. And he said, "Some old man stuck a gospel tract in my hand and asked me," said, "'Sailor, if you die today, you know you'd be in heaven.' He said, 'It shook me up so bad.' He said, it knocked me sober. I went back to the boat, got the chaplain, called on Christ, and I've been bent on soul winning ever since." I say, glory to God. He got on the wrong bus, got off at the right street, and found himself on the right boat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That London preacher 6 months later flew to a convention where 5,000 missionaries on the remote corner of India. And that old man that was running that thing said simply he was a diplomat in Sydney, Australia, when someone stuck a gospel tract in his hand. He said, I didn't know anything about it, so he said, I went back to India and asked my Hindu priest about it. That guy said, I don't have a clue what that means, but there's a missionary right down the road. He said, don't listen to a word he says, but he might have some answers. He said, I went down there and that old missionary led me to God, and now I'm the head of a missionary organization with over 500 men serving underneath me. Well, 8 months later, and this is a true story, I'm not making it up. 8 months later, this same Baptist preacher would go to Sydney, and he would ask that pastor as he was preaching there in Sydney, do you know a little old man that passes out gospel tracts? He says, oh yeah, that's Frank Jenner. He's not able to do it much anymore. He's not very healthy. He says, well, can we go see him, please? I really want to go see him. And they went to see him, and this old preacher began to tell that old man how many different missionaries are serving the Lord because of a simple gospel tract. And old Mr. Jenner began to weep. He said, for 40 years I've been doing this, and not once did I know of anyone that ever went on to serve the Lord because of my gospel witness. And oh, what a great thing to know. But yet 2 weeks later, he would pass over into glory. And you better know for sure, fellas and ladies and gentlemen, you better know for sure when he got to glory, he found out just how much his little mission of passing out gospel tracts had accomplished. Amen. Can I challenge you today? Load up your gospel gun. Fire that thing. Do everything you can to help us get the gospel message, the message that contains eternal life for the world. If we don't get it to them, they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to die and go to hell. They need us. God needs us. I preached a message in a mission conference one night. The young man got up before me, did a wonderful job, preached a message, God doesn't need anything. And I said, sir, I said, I'm really sorry. I said, I can't change my message, this is what God gives me, but I'm about to preach a message called We Serve a Needy God. Amen. My Bible says that God's bound his hands by every single word written in the King James Bible. He couldn't come down this morning and preach in person because he said he's going to send a man. You see, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, church, do everything you can to get the gospel around the world and help us send silent preachers around the world to these dear lost souls. Father in heaven, I love you this morning. I thank you for the privilege to stand and preach. And Lord Jesus, we need you today. And I pray, God of heaven, that you'd please just do something great in our midst. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's close. Let's continue in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we